Welcome back. The lockdown brought on by the coronavirus pandemic has shown the various schisms within our society. What is quite glaring is the obvious economic divide. The people who are able to sustain themselves, protect themselves during this time of lockdown, but also it has shown us quite the obvious of the people who aren't able to, who can't afford to. They have primarily been almost forced to look after themselves. Yes, there's great government assistance, but this pandemic is showing us the great divide in particularly economic inequality in South Africa. But also at the same time, it has shown us the great divide in gender equality in many communities. Mostly it is women who are cleaning the homes, making sure the children are safe, ensuring that the children are inside, making sure that they are washed, fed, making sure as much of the house is disinfected as possible. And thinking about this, I was with quite interest that I discovered an article by anthropologist Dr. Rose Boswell, who wrote in a news website called coronatimes.net, talking about how if men want to be heroes, they should also do some of the dirty work. I would strongly suggest that you go read that article. But Dr. Rose Boswell joins us on the line. Rose, as I said, this pandemic has shown the great schism, if we haven't seen it before, in our economic divide in South Africa, but also it's showing us the different roles that men and women play in society, almost magnified during this time of great crisis in our country.
Yes, no, you're absolutely right. And it's quite clear that the class divide is now showing up quite starkly, you know, in the country. We know that our president has rightfully called on the nation to stay at home in order to flatten the curve. But it is having, I think, disproportionate effect on people who, for reasons of the past and the present, are experiencing this pandemic very, very differently. Mm. And women in particular, I think, are perhaps experiencing it as well in a very particular way, as I wrote.
In your piece, you open up by saying that you love disaster movies. It shows the crisis, it shows the panic, but it also shows the ability of human ability and human spirit to overcome. But what we tend to see in disaster action movies, that it is always predominantly male characters, male figures, male superheroes who come out to the fore. And that is very, very different when we look at the realities of who is actually on the front line here in real life pandemics, whether it is mothers at home cleaning up after kids, making sure they're safe, or whether they frontline medical staff, nurses, technicians. They're more likely to be women who are actually the real superheroes, the real life action heroes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, if you have the, I suppose, unfortunate experience of having to go, to hospital for a procedure, I mean, you are more than likely to be greeted by women nurses, women who are caregivers. And yeah, it is absolutely women cleaners, not just in hospitals, but also in your supermarket, at the tills, in quite a number of public spaces. It is women who are at the forefront. And, as I wrote in that piece, we would like to know what more is going to be done to protect these women, because they have to do the double duty. They have the double shift, as was once written by a very famous feminist, Simone de Beauvoir. They have to do the double shift of going to provide care in the public spaces, but also coming home and providing the same level of care to their families.
Mm. So, South Africa has been fairly insulated from Abora leadership. We can largely say that President Ramaphosa is doing a great job. But if we're looking at around the world, we look at Donald Trump, Boris Johnson, Bolsonaro in Brazil. They've messed this up completely. But also what we're seeing is women leaders around the world who are leading the fight. looking at Jacinda Ardern from New Zealand. Yeah. We have the Angela Merkel in Germany, the Prime Minister in Taiwan. These are all women leaders who are actually, if you want to drill down into the figures and the statistics, countries led by women leaders are doing far better in managing this current pandemic. Is this anecdotal, or is there something to read into that?
I mean, I would like to believe, but maybe that's because I'm, you know, a feminist at heart. I'd like to believe that women are as capable, you know, as men, you know, in positions of leadership, but that they provide a different form of leadership, one that is not perhaps so self-centered, maybe narcissistic, that they look outwards to see what is going on in their societies and provide, you know, a deeper form of care for the greater good. And it is a skill and a set of, you know, talents that perhaps men and male leaders in particular can learn from their female counterparts. What are these women leaders doing that is different to what they are doing? I mean, the examples that you cited are publicly and unfortunately, you know, known to be individuals who are perhaps a little bit more interested in their own public image, perhaps, than they are, you know, of the greater good of their society. So, yeah, I mean, that would be my response, that there are particular skills that are outward, you know, women look outwards towards their communities and people around them a lot more. They have deeper regimes of care, perhaps, and men can learn from that.
But at the same time, do you think that you would hear some of the very militaristic, at times, sounding language of "we are at war," "we are in this battle"? Heck, even President Cyril Ramaphosa in military fatigues. I sort of get his message there. He is Commander-in-Chief of the SANDF, and they were going out on a mission to help protect South Africa. But would you expect a woman leader to be dressing up in fatigues and be using militaristic sounding language?
I don't know. I think, you know, I mean, we love to imagine particular stereotypes of how women and men should behave, you know, in the public space. It's, you know, just because a woman leader has not yet done it doesn't mean that, you know, in the future there wouldn't be a woman leader that would do that. But I do believe that, you know, that symbols are very important in perhaps convincing a nation of the seriousness of the issue that we are facing. And, you know, the military fatigues, you know, have been used, you know, in many societies to convey commitment to a cause, to convey the image and the value of, you know, the fact that we need to protect and to defend a particular set of values. I mean, otherwise you would not have the military uniform. But at the same time, it may well convey a, you know, a masculine or patriarchal view of how it is that we should tackle something that requires, you know, a multiple set of approaches for us to be ultimately successful against what is an invisible enemy.
We're speaking to Dr. Rose Boswell. We're talking about her article that was published on the coronatimes.net website. It is a compilation of particularly academic articles looking at the impact of the coronavirus and governments and society's response to it. She is also an anthropologist and writer and a professor of ocean cultures and heritage at Nelson Mandela University. Rose, what we have seen during the course of the lockdown is the side effects or the repercussions of the frustrations of men. We're looking at reported increased incidents of domestic violence. There's been a lot that has been said about crime rates going down outside, and Becky Kelly, the police minister, saying, oh, this is because that there is less alcohol. Yeah. And less place for people to congregate. And one could see that as a positive. But if we're looking at, and we frame that in looking at the level of the increase of domestic violence. It only just means that the violence has gone from being outside of the home, at the pubs, the bars, the shebeens and the taverns, and it's only turned around and being directed at home, inside the home. So it isn't really, one would argue, a victory if that violence that was first outside is now being concentrated in the home, with women and children being the victims.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I have colleagues who are, you know, social workers, you know, in Johannesburg, for example, that speak about the increasing level of violence, you know, domestic violence, you know, in the home. And I think a part of that has to do with the stresses and the strains of people being confined, you know, within the home environment. But at the same time, as you say, that violence that was perhaps directed outside the home is now being visited among, you know, upon women and children within the home. And it's not just observable violence. And I think that was the point of one of the main points of my article, is that there is also an invisible and insidious violence that is being visited among women wherever they are, in that, you know, the domestic duties in all of its and all of its burdens is now falling, you know, upon the shoulders of women, and it's not ordinary burdens or challenges of home care. I mean, I suppose in a pandemic one should be less worried about whether one is wearing ironed clothing or not. But the fact of the matter is that the levels of sanitation that are required to achieve a measure of cleanliness are much higher, and that anxiety and that form of insidious the perception of women as natural carers and cleaners, that is being visited upon women across the class divide. And it is, I think, more difficult, it is more pernicious in homes where women simply just don't have access to these rapidly vanishing, you know, cleaning materials and supplies, or they simply cannot afford it. And so how do you then guarantee the level of cleanliness, for example, that is being advocated by our president, and rightly so? How do you achieve that in an environment where you don't even have daily clean access to water, where sanitation is not an option but often a luxury? How do you manage to ensure that your child, who has momentarily, for example, stepped out, you know, of the door into the street, and perhaps has encountered other children, comes back in and uses, you know, scarce, you know, soap, for example, to for 20 to 40 seconds to wash their hands and their faces. It's very difficult.
No, before I go onto the role of men, I just to add in your point, we've spoken to several people in the past on who particularly look at high densified informal settlement areas as we build up to this corona crisis, and they have said that we shouldn't be infantilizing particularly people who live in informal settlements, because primarily the burden of cleanliness is carried by women, and it's not as if people don't know how to wash their hands. They don't know. It's not as if they don't know how to keep a level of hygiene. They do. And that is, and that is carried, and that is enforced by particularly the women in these communities.
Yes. No, absolutely. Yeah. It's not about infantilizing them at all, but about providing women and families in general with the means to be able to carry out those basic requirements. And also for men to take responsibility, for brothers and fathers and uncles to take responsibility for ensuring that those very basic forms of sanitization are actually, you know, implemented, that it does not all fall upon the shoulders of the women.
The men take
responsibility too.
Myself and two of my cousins, we sort of had kids at the same time. Our babies were all sort of infants at the same time, and we had and as dads we've been very hands on, and my aunt told my mother, she said, "This is that fathers are far more hands on nowadays." But it goes beyond than just changing the occasional nappy. It's also about picking up the mop, throwing in some bleach or some jik, and making sure that the front step is also wiped down clean. It's making sure that everything is sanitized as well. And at the end of the day, it's about also doing your bit about washing the dishes. And it's strange that in the year 2020, we're still having these conversations of how men should be more involved in particularly domestic work.
Yeah, and I think it goes beyond that. It is care that I speak very briefly. I think I had it like in a one-liner where I spoke about regimes of care. Mm. It goes beyond those basic duties. I mean, we know, for example, that in South Africa there are many men who don't pay their maintenance, duties. Mm. I mean, if they actually paid their maintenance duties, some of these women would have the money that they need to buy the food and the supplies that they require in order to maintain their homes and keep their children safe. And so it's picking up the mop, doing the work. It's almost a metaphor that I use, in the article.
Yeah.
It's a means that I use to say that, care is much more than doing the jik and cleaning the stoop. It's much, much more than that. It goes a lot deeper than that.
You also speak, firstly, we again speaking to Dr. Rose Boswell about the role of men in carrying, helping carry that load that is ultimately hoisted on the shoulders of women, particularly in general housekeeping, household maintenance, but also it's magnified during this time of crisis and this time of lockdown. Rose, you also write about you also understanding the fear of having a medical history, the fear of making sure that you are safe and that you are in the most protective environment around you. You write about having survived a pulmonary embolism 3 years ago. How has that made you react to this period of great uncertainty, particularly when it comes to our health? Are you finding yourself taking more precautions? Are you more cautious when you enter your home? What are your thoughts and feelings at the moment?
Look, I mean, there are two sides to it. I mean, obviously the initial, thought was, well, I'm definitely one of those who are, at high risk because of my past. But on the other hand, I've always been a fairly, sort of optimistic, kind of person, which means that I make sure that I enjoy every single day. So ever since I had the pulmonary embolism, I've tried my very best to enjoy my life every single day. I've not taken a day for granted. Of course, I mean, I'm an ordinary human being. So, I mean, I've like had fights with people and disagreed with people and had sad days and so on and so forth. But in general, I've tried very hard to maintain a very positive outlook. And I encourage all people who have, an underlying condition to also adopt the same attitude, because whether you are healthy or not, whether you have an underlying condition that perhaps could make your chances of surviving COVID-19 less likely, the fact of the matter is nobody knows when they're going to go.
Yeah.
And so you need to make the most of every single day. And for the women out there, one of the things that I'd like to say is that perhaps we also take on too much. Perhaps we also need to relinquish a little bit of control and allow the men to make some mistakes. Obviously, a bit costly to make a mistake in the time of a pandemic like this, but we also need to relinquish a little bit of control and to set boundaries and tell them what we need. And not just the men, but the children, perhaps, older children, family members who are in our home, just to make it clear that we need support and that we cannot do it on our own. And sometimes I think, especially in patriarchal South Africa, you know, women have not always made their voices heard. It's very difficult to tell, you know, a male member of the family or an elderly person in the family that you need help. Because many of us have been brought up in an environment where we are expected to support the elderly, to provide them with everything that they need. And we do it. We do it gladly. But we must not be shy and afraid, first of all, to ask for help and to let others help us. And the second thing is to live every day in the best way that you possibly can, because there are no second chances. That was what I learned from the pulmonary embolism, that I had the opportunity. I had the 1 in 3 chance of surviving, and I was lucky. I was really I was blessed, that's the message I want to pass on, that people, no matter what underlying conditions or weaknesses you have, try to live a happy life every single day, because you never know.
Rose Boswell is an anthropologist and writer. She's also a professor of ocean cultures and heritage at Nelson Mandela University and the honorary professor of anthropology at the University of Cape Town. Rose, thanks so much for joining us. Best of luck and be safe.
Thank you so much, and thanks for the opportunity to speak.